Well, here we are. Wonderful.
We are here.
So today we're doing something a little different with this homily space. We're using the occasion of Erica's upcoming Camino pilgrimage, thus the picture on your bulletin, to chat up. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's actually not probably the right phrase to use in church. But anyway, to chat up the very idea of journey and exploring as it pertains to the Christian life. Perhaps you've noticed that we've adopted a purpose statement for our parish which contains this very idea: helping each other explore God's beauty, truth, and goodness. And so Erica has graciously agreed, to participate in a dialogue in which she can share a bit about her life and how she has come to the place where she's about to embark on the Camino for a second time. So thanks for doing this, Erica. I know you're leaving tomorrow, so you've got lots on your mind. So would you please tell us a bit about what the Camino is and why you're going on it a second time?
First of all, thank you. Actually, the opportunity really helps me to focus. Again, just to bring to mind, why am I doing this? Actually, I do very few things a second time. So for me, it's surprising as well to be doing a journey of, I'm hoping, close to 1,000 kilometers a second time. In many ways, it's not a second Camino. Camino is a walk, it's a way, it's a pilgrimage, it's a journey. I've been on a journey for a long time. I have found that my life has taken me to lots of places. And when I think of Camino now, it is a metaphor. It is a practice away from sort of the nitty-gritty of life, where I can perhaps focus on literally living in the now. I put one foot in front of the other. I walk my 20, 30 kilometers a day. I eat, I go to bed, I wake up, and I do it again. In many ways, that's what life's all about. We do that every day. But on the Camino, which is an ancient pilgrimage walk, the distractions are far and few between. Literally, you travel light. My backpack is here. It weighs maybe 15 pounds when I put my water in. And it's amazing that you can live with a change of clothes with the people that you meet along the way for about 40 days and hopefully be able to focus on what's important in life. So that's why I think I'm kind of doing it. I need to get away. It's a practice to remind myself that this is how I want to live my life. And
Wonderful.
I'm going to start again.
So can you give us the parameters? Like, where do you start? Where do you end? And How did this become a thing, this thing called the Camino?
All right. This particular pilgrimage it begins all over, but it ends in Santiago, Spain. I am beginning in France. I will begin in a little place called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, and we cross the Pyrenees the very first day. You just up and over into Spain. So I'm not in France a long time, but I begin with a pretty momentous, from 200 meters to 1,500 meters hike in 2 days. And then things level out a little bit. This began in the medieval times. Supposedly the Apostle James visited the coast of Spain during his time, and somewhere along the line, they feel he died there, and someone discovered his bones, and then they were finally laid to rest in Santiago. So it has, over the years, become kind of a mystical, maybe magical. It has lots of stories. It's like pilgrimages to Lourdes, healing waters, lots of stories. And today it has taken another, it's come up again to the world, and people are finding themselves along this path. And by the relationships that they have with people along the way, special things happen, whether it's kindness of strangers, whether it's them being able to offer a kindness to someone they didn't know, or having to overcome obstacles. So it's a continuation of something that's been going on for literally hundreds of years, and literally millions of people have walked this way over time.
Wonderful. So if you don't mind, I'd like to explore with you a little bit more on some of the stuff you've already begun to share, the difference it makes to think of the spiritual life as a journey rather than a settled place of comfort. In scripture we have both themes, I think. We've got the journey through the wilderness, the people of Israel, but it does end someplace in the promised land. We've got the early church venturing out from Jerusalem. That was really the gist of our first reading today. And sharing the gospel far and wide. But of course we know that most converts, or most people who began to follow the way, even though it was called a journey, really, stayed in one place, as most people are wont to do. And we also have the idea that our own lives, from birth to death, are already a journey within a larger journey that will take us into God's own eternal existence. And I think that's the reality pointed to in our second reading. And yet, truthfully, I think most of us feel like our lives are not much of a journey. We're in what we settle in a place, and probably that's realistic. And we also, in our gospel reading, we have this idea of newness, in which there's hints of journey as well. I give you a new commandment, suggesting that we need to think about ways of reinterpreting and maybe re-examining even the oldest of concepts, the most foundational of concepts, that of love. And so I'm curious to know how the idea of questing or pilgrimage informs your actual physical pilgrimage that you're about to go on, or maybe it's actually worked the other way. How did going on your first Camino change your understanding of the Christian life? How did it help you to live a spirituality of exploring? Now, you can just take this any way you want. Mm-hmm. What, does any of that make sense?
Yes, whatever, and, both and. I think the first journey, it wasn't anything that I discovered. I didn't have a big aha moment. I didn't have an epiphany experience. Some people do. But for me, it was a real confirmation. Within that 40 days or so of walking, you have a beginning and an end, and yet it's a new beginning and a restarting to come back home. I have been on a journey, as many of you know. I have lived in loads of places around the world. I have been on the move for as long as I can remember. I remember at seminary wondering, am I running away? Am I doing things by traveling so much? And really feeling It was a gift of transience, which is not always easy. And so the journey motif has been there all the time, and yet it's a reminder to me that how do I live that journey one step at a time when I'm at home? That's where I find, like, when we get to that settled place, sometimes we get lost in the settledness, and then we have an upheaval. And in some ways, it's a journey, that upheaval.
Okay. Yeah.
And it starts us on a new path, whether or not it is a... I'm at an anniversary with my brother's death last year. And so I'm reminded of the path that my sister-in-law has been moved into and how we talked. It's not something that you think of, that it happens to us. Life happens to us. And so I see this journey having these settled places.
Mm-hmm.
But then something sort of happens. And if we're open to that, we can move on from that rather than to become bitter or to stay stagnant. And so for me, this time, I think the Camino is a place, it's a practice, it's a reminder mm-hmm. to me, this is how I want to live my life all the time.
Okay.
But I feel like in some ways I'm sort of in a static place here in Abbotsford, and somehow I need to regroup, I need to take a deep breath, I need to take that next step, and so that's probably okay. What's drawing me.
Wonderful. So, many of us will never be able to take the Camino journey physically. Is there a way that we can learn from what you're doing in a participatory way? I mean, Paul says we're one body, we're members one of another, we're connected in ways that are both mystical and practical. How do we incorporate this idea of exploring or questing or pilgrimage into our lives here in Abbotsford? Any ideas? Like, if we can't go on the journey mm-hmm. you're going on.
And I don't expect everybody to go on this journey, just like all of us have such very different experiences. But yes, as a metaphor, I think we can all go onto that journey. Perhaps some of my experiences, as I talk about them, the things that send me in new directions can encourage. Because what I don't want this to make me, you know, to be felt like this is something so extraordinary that it's up here and it's not something that I or any of you can actually participate in. We can all participate in the journey. And I think it's that new or old adage that says, put your foot one in front of the other and keep moving. But sometimes we think 15 or 20 or 30 miles down the road, and before we know it, we trip or we forget. We don't know where we're at. And for me, this is the reminder to say, today is the day I want to live. I get up in the morning and I pay attention. So perhaps what I would encourage everybody is to even take some time, whether it is 15 minutes or 5 minutes or a weekend retreat or a cruise or whatever, where you just say, how do I pay attention to today, to my next moments?
Hmm.
And it's an amazing way to live, but it's also a very easy way when we're in a settled place
mm-hmm.
To forget.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's giving me a nudge.
Nice. Okay. So one more question for you. We've been talking this Easter season about turning resurrection past into resurrection now. What are you hoping will become alive or new? And maybe you said some of this already for you as you undertake this second Camino. Is there some particular intention beyond what you've said?
Perhaps it's, we've talked about the resurrection. In some ways, it's, I feel like I'm kind of in the in-between stage right now.
Saturday?
So
Holy Saturday?
Definitely the Holy, well, I'm hoping it's holy. It feels pretty shitty at times. it's a very dark, dark place.
Yeah.
And it seems like, what is it? So I'm looking, I'm hoping to be open to a resurrection experience. And I think that is sort of what we're called to do. It's my understanding, as my background as a Mennonite, I was always being told, die to yourself, die. But I was never reminded that you can't die more than once unless you're resurrected. And so for me, these little deaths, these little stops and starts in life, give those opportunities for something new to happen. And it's like our beautiful blossoms, our beautiful flowers beginning to burst out right now. They've had a dark winter, and yet something's happening. So that's what I look forward to.
Wonderful.
Is something,
wow.
Something new, maybe. Or yes, it will, but help me be open my eyes and see it. So.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing openly and honestly. And is there a way that we can follow you? Like, you're not putting this on a blog or you're
I'm not blogging, but I am, I do have some stuff on Facebook. I probably will put something. I will also be, in a special way, remembering Melissa. I'm going to hopefully be able to light some candles for her along the way as she anticipates her surgery. This is Ken and Pauline's daughter who's anticipating her surgery, her heart surgery, open heart. And so, yes, if you, want to, that is there. I'm not doing it every day. Wi-Fi isn't available every day. I carry
thank
my
God,
little,
right? Thank God.
Thank God. Yes. Some people want it to be there, but I am going to find it when I find it.
Right. Well, we're going to have the opportunity to say a prayer of blessing for you right after the prayers of the people. So, and if you could put on your backpack for that would be a wonderful thing. So thank you again.